topic is about today? That's a good guess. How'd you know? You know, this is when we were going, planning for the preaching of the book of Acts and the potential subject of missions-mindedness, and as it says, the key to accomplishing extension. Please notice back there, it says exalt, edify, evangelize, and then extend. That's what we are as a church. And extension isn't just right here. Extension needs to go to the ends of the earth. And if you think of all that God has called us to, missions is part of that. And I want to share something with you. Some of you know, most of you know, we were missionaries for 17 years in Mexico. And people have asked me over the years, how were you led to be a missionary? And at first it was as a single guy. Not long after getting saved, I was introduced to short-term missions trips to Mexico. And I was working, and the Lord always opened up a door for me to go with every single missions trip that went down to Mexico. And then there was the missions conferences I'll be talking about a little bit later. I went to all of those and got heavily exposed to missions work. And in fact, being a missionary was kind of a normal thing in those days. Hillview, if I'm not mistaken, had, I think, close to 5 missionaries commended from just that one church. And then all of a sudden, I was called to a different calling, and that was to marry Joy. And I went into that relationship as we started a date with, oh, well, you're marrying a future missionary to Mexico. Get with the program. And with that attitude, you can imagine the Lord had a few things to say to me and not to her. We actually went to some friends to get counseling because I thought, you know, she needs straightening out. And praise the Lord that the one that got straightened out was me. I had actually allowed the calling as a missionary to Mexico to become an idol in my heart. And Joy, who Jim McCarthy said a long time ago, I'm glad you're marrying Joy because she'll tell you like it is. And for 32 years, she always has. I was the one that had to let go. And then as Joy, and I'll share more with that later, she had to struggle through her fears and her calling as well. But I praise the Lord that with a God-fearing wife, we took 3 children, ages 3 months, 2 years, and 4 years. We packed them and whatever we owned into a 11-passenger van and ended up driving 60 hours to our destination with one stop in Torreon on the way. You know, Joy shared with me the following. She said, I could stay or go. I prayed and journaled for a whole year. But when I thought the Lord was going to show me the movie at the end of my life, I would have missed out on a lot of opportunities to see God's faithfulness in Mexico. So she had to struggle in the same way that most of us might struggle with our walks. But she realized and made a decision that she wanted to be in line with what the Lord was leading in that. Now, we were in Santiago Tianguistenco, and if you want to later ask me how to spell that, it's not easy, in central Mexico for 4 years. We came back for 2 years, and then we were 13 years in Ensenada. There's your 17. Now, I kind of want to change something on this. It's not missions-mindedness, but it's actually missions-committedness. Because what happens is, especially with missions, if you just keep it in your mind, it's going to slowly fade. But if there's a commitment, and I want to tell you right now, if you're sitting here, and all of you are sitting, except for maybe Brian, if you're sitting here and you're a born-again believer, my goal that I feel like is God's goal is that you'll get nudged a little further in your heart and in your commitment regarding missions. Now, I want to ask you, what comes to mind when you think of a missionary? Everybody has different ideas. Maybe when you think of a missionary, you think of these guys. You know, the guys with the bikes and they go door to door. That's what you think of when you think of a missionary. Or maybe your fears cause you to think of this guy. Figure, well, if I go out as a missionary, I'm going to end up getting cooked and eaten by cannibals. You know, that would be my end point. How many of you as parents would not want your children to be missionaries because you're afraid of that very thing? I want to tell you that being a missionary is exactly what this picture shows us. Being a missionary is actually one who is sent. It parallels the word for apostle. It's someone who has been sent, and not sent by human beings, but sent by God. And it takes the leadership and the entire church to recognize the calling of the individual or the family to foreign missions. We'll talk much more about that as time goes on. So just have that in mind. Sent one, but sent in the context of a local church, God using the local church as believers are raised up and discipled and growing in the Lord, then God taps the shoulder of someone and says, I have wonderful plans for you. Now we have three questions that are going to be answered today. One is, where are missions in the Bible? Now for me, this is a fairly unusual opportunity because we're just going to spend the time in Scripture for the first part. And then we're going to get fairly practical. Second thing is, what is being done today? Very brief, just looking at what the needs are and what is being done today. And then we'll look at, what should I do? And if you're starting to squirm in your seat right now, wait till we get to the part about what should I do. This is where there's no escape when it comes to missions. Each of us being called to be challenged face to face by God as to what should I do in regards to missions. So where are missions in the Bible? I want to tell you before we go to verse 8, missions aren't just spoken of in the Bible. Missions are God's heart. God's heart is to reach everyone, everywhere. Think of the most remote, and it would be interesting to see what everybody's thoughts were, but the most remote place you could possibly imagine where people are living, and God has them in mind and wants to reach them. Or maybe you could just look across the border, going north, south, in different directions. Jesus is the ultimate missionary. Because think of it. What is a missionary? Someone who's sent. Jesus was sent by God the Father. And he laid his life down for us. Gave his life for us. And his whole goal was that we would be saved. Now let's look at Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and as far as the remotest part of the earth. You know, Ben did a great job of reviewing the book of Acts, and it gave us an opportunity to think back through somewhat what we've been preaching on for so many weeks, so many months. Acts 1:8 was our key verse for the book. And I feel like God did an amazing job to cover most of this verse. But I feel like the reason why we're in this now is because we want to look at and as far as the remotest part of the earth. Let's keep in mind that it's not the Christian is called to Jerusalem. That means where you live. If you live in San Jose, that's San Jose. If you live in Santa Clara, that's Santa Clara. Or Judea and Samaria, that would take you a little further, but also the remotest parts of the earth. But at the same time, the Christian is not called just to the remotest part of the earth. This verse is one verse, and this call has all included. So what we want to do is we want to consider today as like an epilogue to the book of Acts, dealing with the remotest part of the earth. Acts 13:47, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have appointed you as a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. That was the call to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was called, what does it say? As a light to the Gentiles and bring salvation to the ends of the earth. But if you learn about the Israelite upbringing and the way they went for such a long time, they considered the non-Jews, which are Gentiles, as dogs. There's actually a saying among them that the Gentiles were like kindling for the fires of hell. Their idea was, don't touch those unclean people. And they misinterpreted all that was taught in Leviticus and Deuteronomy about being clean, being holy, and they treated those outside of Israel as lesser than themselves. And they came up with many laws to try and follow through with that thinking. And we have to ask ourselves today, the political drive, the things that go on, is we tend to have us and them. And we alienate people who really need the Lord. The Jews failed. Let's make a commitment that we're not going to fail, both locally and as we extend and around the world. People need the Lord. You know, Paul took 3 missionary journeys. We explored all 3 of those. Some say that he traveled as much as 10,000 miles, most of which was on foot. Can you imagine that? I start wondering, are we there yet? When I was walking, I think it was 8/10 of a mile the other day. You know, Peter and I went to the ball game on 4th of July, and we saved a little bit of money by parking farther away from the stadium. And I said, I thought you said it was 3/10 of a mile. He goes, oh, it may be 8/10 of a mile. I'm like, okay, I can do 8/10. I don't know if I could do 10,000 miles like Paul did. 1 Chronicles 16:24-26, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim good news of his salvation from day to day, tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. And you think about this type of verse, and you think correctly, it's a verse of worship. This is a scripture of worship. But even in the middle of their worship, there was emphasis on all the earth. There was emphasis of among the nations. There is emphasis on the peoples throughout the world. Why? Because so many people are following their idols. We have idols right here in Silicon Valley. It's that latest and greatest. We have idols of greater and greater education. We have idols of so many things that are all around us, and people are without the Lord. You know, even in worship, God was trying to send a signal that we are called to the remotest parts of the earth. Matthew 28:19-20. I'm not going to read the whole thing. In fact, I wanted you to look. You see the command. Look at right towards the end. Teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Why did he make that promise? Why in the middle of saying, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Holy Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all this instruction, why did he tack on, I am with you always to the end of the age? You know why? Because it's a scary thing. It's a fearful thing. The idea of, could I actually pack up and go elsewhere? Could I actually commit my heart to the Lord regarding missions without knowing what the Lord has in mind for me? We're going to be looking at in a little bit all the possibilities of how we can actually be believers regarding foreign missions and without necessarily leaving our home. And at the same time, it demands a willingness to whatever the Lord has for us. It's a fearful thing. You know, Joy shared with me that 2 weeks, reminded me that 2 weeks before we left, the Lord had an amazing time of meeting with her. She had the scriptures open to John, I believe, 15, and the Lord gave her a promise. It may have been 14. It gave her a promise that said, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And the way she describes this time that she had is she sensed the presence of the Lord in a real, true way. And the Lord letting her know, I want you to trust me as you go off to Mexico. And I want you to know, at any opportunity, you can always ask in my name, and I'll respond. And I want to tell you, we'll go get into this a little bit later, God had amazing answers to that prayer. She took hold of that promise with all the trembling and all the fear that may have gone with it, and she trusted the Lord that if I just ask the Lord, he will always be with me. He will always respond as I ask in his name. You know, as Rick was saying today, reminding us, that's not just tacking on in Jesus' name, but that's actually knowing what God's will is, knowing what he wants, knowing what his leading is, and allowing ourselves to be in line with that and saying, God, I know this is what you want. Romans 10, 13 to 15. Notice what it says here. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? But how are they to preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now, when we think about this, Scripture is very, very clear. There is no hope without Jesus. And there is no knowing Jesus without the Word of God. We'll be talking in a little bit about how many people still don't have the Word of God, have never even heard the Word of God. Some may not even know that a Bible even exists. And most of us have it on our phone. It's a very clear reasoning that I want you just to really think about. Without the Word of God being preached to them, there's no hope. And I want to tell you, everything that I'm sharing with you, that I'm focusing on foreign missions, applies to San Jose, California. It applies to right where we are. And we need to be active in caring about people. Caring about people in different ways. And we'll be emphasizing that in a little bit. Matthew 24, 14, I love this verse. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, there's a little discrepancy as to really the deep meaning behind that, but I want to tell you the simple meaning is God's heart is that he will not come back for us until everyone has been reached with at least an opportunity with the gospel. That's the way I understand this. And so it tells us we have something to do with ushering in the coming of the Lord. We don't know. Maybe from God's perspective, many people have already been reached. We know that the coming of Christ is imminent. Now we want to look at what is being done today. Before we do, I just want you to understand, that was just a good sense of God in his word calling us to be participants in foreign missions. His calling to us, regardless of your age, regardless of your background, regardless of anything, his call in the scripture for us to be used of him in foreign missions. Because as we go on, we're not going to be looking more at a lot of scripture verses. As we go on, we want to answer this question, what is being done today? There's about 2,200 languages that remain without a Bible. That's about 350 million people who do not have the scriptures in their language. So, what is being done? There are people who are dedicating their entire lives to Bible translation. And that's an example. Maybe you have a tremendous skill at that type of thing. That's not something today with the technology we have, you necessarily have to only be in the foreign field. There's nearly 3,000 people groups, not 3,000 people, but 3,000 people groups unreached completely. 719 million people. That's a lot of people who have never been reached whatsoever. And let's keep in mind what that means. Because you can look south of the border to Mexico, it's considered a reached people group. But you can find plenty of people who have never heard the gospel. You can look, go outside your front door here in San Jose. Let's go back to the 4th of July. Joy and I were walking down the hill, and I said, you know, I think there's at least a dozen countries represented on this hill, you know? So those people groups are coming to Silicon Valley, and there's so many that have never heard the Bible once. So everything I'm talking about isn't just, oh, you need to go off to this other country, and that's the only way you can obey the Lord, but you need to actually start here and let the Lord take it from there. There's over 400 missionaries from churches like ours. We'll be talking a little bit about that more, but there's right around 400. I had to count them up as I went through the handbook. There was actually a quicker way of doing it. I didn't count every single one. Don't worry, Sanjay. And at a worldwide level, there's probably close to 10,000 evangelical missionaries around the world. So there is a good work going on when it comes to foreign missions. I want to mention CMS, Christian Missionary Service. Kirk Burchie is on the board there. It's something that Hillview and Grace has been a big part of over the years. It's a big support of Bay Area missions. Well, I'll talk to you a little bit more as we get down in this about that. And then CMML, Christian Missions in Many Lands, they support all missionaries from churches like ours. And again, we'll explain in depth, a little more depth, what that means. So what is being done? Well, there's people involved in Bible translation. There's thousands of missionaries around the world, around 400 plus from our churches like ours. There's organizations like CMS and CMML that are all involved with the goal of reaching the lost. Now here comes the hard part. What should I do? And, you know, the tendency is to hear a message like this and think, you know what? I'll use Fran. Fran might say, you know what? It's too late for me to be a missionary. Maybe, you know. But what we're going to look at is it's not just about that. It's not just about Fran packing her bags and saying, leave me alone, I know God's calling me to Southern Africa. But I tell you right now, it wouldn't surprise me, because when you saw Fran out here who said, you know what, I can walk my dog, I can help pass out flyers, and doing a face plant in front of somebody's house, and then when she gets up, her first comment is, we have more houses to do. So that kind of heart tells me that Fran, regardless of her less than youth, we'll leave it at that, right, Fran? She is one who will be paying attention to the Lord about what should I do. First, make myself available. And I want to tell you, this is probably the hardest part. Make myself available has a lot to say to us. You know, it's from Isaiah, where in Isaiah, he is in the presence of the Lord. And the scripture says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he responded like many of us respond, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He was in the presence of a holy God, and he was stripped down saying, what can I do? And the wonderful thing is God cleansed him. God cleansed him. Then God said, in no uncertain terms, there's a need. He said, who will go? Who will go for us? They need to hear, in essence. And Isaiah's response, it's the response that we all need. Here I am, send me. Now, that's a difficult response. You know, Jesus heard the call, and he said, Father, here I am, send me. And that's exactly what he did. Now, let me ask you, can you make that call of your heart? Parents, can you allow your children to make that call of their heart and say, Lord, here I am, send me? What happens is we lose sight of the fact that God knows and he's good and he leads gently. You know, he doesn't just say, I don't care what condition you're in. You said, here I am, send me. You're heading off to and pick the toughest country you could imagine to go to. And then he just maniacally laughs as you go off as a poor missionary somewhere. That's not our God. Our God is a good God. Our God who cares about you. He cares about Grace Bible Chapel. He knows how he wants to use you here. He knows how he wants to build you up. But he also knows if he would have a plan for you to go somewhere. But what he needs to do is he needs to start in your heart willing to say, okay, I surrender. Here I am. Send me. So the first thing is to make myself available. You know, the interesting part about our commendation, the elders at Hillview, when they commended us, they said, you know, we're only commending you for 1 year. And they said, because, Brian, we know that you're good to go. But it's joy. We want you to understand that we want her to know that if after a year, she can come back. And she shared with others. She spent time in tears in that first year. And I, as hard as it was, reminded her, we can be done. Because God is a good God. God is a gentle God. God knows what our needs are, and he knows what we can or cannot do. So that's the first thing before we go any further. Everything that follows this M, by the way, this is going to spell mission. I was going to see if you got it. But as we go on from this, it has to start with making yourself available. That's the cry of my heart, and I believe it's God's heart, is that everyone who's a born-again believer at the end of this message will be willing to say, God, here I am, send me. And I'm willing to trust you for whatever that means. One of the greatest things it means is to intercede for missions. I mentioned CMML. There's so many ways that CMML helps missionaries from churches like ours. They have a missionary home in New Jersey where missionaries can come and find rest and even can get opportunity to visit some of the churches there. They have a missions magazine, which there's actually a copy, I believe, in the back, where they publish different articles about missions. And then they have the missionary prayer handbook. Now, I want to look at this with you for a minute. Today is the 9th. This is a wonderful tool, and I bought a handful of them, and I want to encourage you, if God leads you, to take one of these from me afterwards. Now, this says day 9. So on day 9, you look down and you see Albania, and there's missionaries that are commended to Albania. And it gives a little bit about the country and a little bit about each missionary. Then day 9 has Austria, and it gives the lists of the missionaries with their pictures, and it gives some details about the country. It's a wonderful way to take, and parents, you can do this with your kids, to take and each day, and maybe you're like me and all of a sudden you forget for 11 days, it's okay. You don't have to pray for the last 11 days. God is not going to condemn you if you pick up at day 23. I think we were day 22 or 23, I can't remember. So this is one of the things that you can use as a tool in praying for missionaries. Another one is the Murrays commended from Grace in Romania. They send a prayer letter out. Don't just pray for them once and forget it. That's an ongoing opportunity to be praying for the Murrays and their needs. CMS, we'll be talking about that a little bit more. They have a conference 3 times a year. And there's an opportunity to go to the CMS conference here in the Bay Area, hear about different missionaries and the work they're doing. They even produce multiple pages with requests from missionaries in the Bay Area that you can take home and pray over. So the opportunity to be committed, if you said, here I am, Lord, send me, you can fulfill that partially by interceding. You know, I remember when I first got saved, the brother who led me to Christ, he took me to a park called Linda Vista Park in Cupertino, and there's a hill above there. It used to be open. Now I saw that it's been chained off. You know, I feel like I'm from the Jurassic days, because that used to be a freely open hill that we would go and we'd pray over the valley. And he would bring out the missions book. It was basically a world missions book about this thick. Some of you may have seen it. And we would open up to it and give all this information about the different countries. And then we would pray for those countries. You know what I'm thrilled about? Back in 1983, probably, I began praying for different countries around the world based on what was going on in those countries. And I can still remember that Turkey had less than a dozen believers out of all their millions of people there. Evangelicals. And I prayed for God to do a work there. Today, there's more than a dozen missionaries there, churches that have been planted, and many who have gotten saved. There's still persecution in different pockets of Turkey, but there's been a great work. And I'm thrilled, even though I lost sight in different years in praying for Turkey, but I'm thrilled to have been on the ground floor of praying for that country. We had so many times when prayer impacted our lives as missionaries. You know, one time we were at the border, and I didn't think anything about it, but I had a T-shirt with a Bible verse on it. And we were on a visa that was basically a tourist visa. That's what I was looking for, a six-month tourist visa. And so we're at the border trying to come back into Mexico, trying to renew our tourist visa. But we were living as missionaries. And so I get to the person at the border, and he reads my shirt, and he goes, "What's that?" I said, "Oh, this is what it says." And he goes, "Why are you going to be in Mexico?" I knew. I couldn't say, "Well, we've been missionaries for, you know, 3 years or 2 years." I said, "Well, we have a lot of friends in Mexico, and we like to visit people, and we're actually down near central Mexico." And I kind of did the two-step around the point, and "But what about that?" He goes, "You're going to evangelize, aren't you?" And he kind of had me in the corner, and I couldn't lie, and yet I knew where he's going. And so we went back to the car, and then Joy was reminded of what the Lord gave her, reminded that, "Ask anything in my name, and I'll answer." So we got done praying. I went out there, back to the office, and guess what? Shift change. Shift change. The next guy saw the same T-shirt, couldn't care less, and gave us our tourist visa, and we were good to go. You know, the Lord did that. We would have been stuck in Texas? Yeah. We would have been stuck in Texas. We would have been missionaries to Texas, I guess. What about safety? You know, we saw many times where God protected us. There's a lot of violence in central Mexico and northern Mexico. Ensenada is, in some ways, is like Disneyland compared to some of the other areas of Mexico, with all the drug cartels and all the killings going on. And the Lord protected us continually. Saints were praying for us. And I remember Lulu Robles, a dear sister in the Lord. She had a defect in her heart and was in Tijuana wanting to get surgery for her heart. And all of a sudden they said, "You know what? We don't have the equipment. You're going to have to go to this other state in Mexico." Now, some of us would say, "Well, I'll hop on a plane and I'll fly over there." It's not that easy in the Mexican culture and as far as your finances. That was not much of an option for her. So we got down and we prayed, and we prayed seriously. And you guys, maybe not even knowing about that situation, but you're praying for safety, you're praying for God's help. God answered. They all of a sudden said, "Oh, well, we just discovered we do have the equipment that you can use, so come back to Tijuana and let's get your heart surgery done." That is not anything short of God answering prayer. And we had a training program, intern training program, is all concentrated in 1 month. And as has been experienced here, you need students. And every year, we were wondering, well, we have one student, we have two, but the Lord ended up bringing students in different years from all over the state of Baja California. It was really wonderful to see that God was working, and I think we had something, a number of maybe six or eight different churches that sent someone to our training program over the 5 years, because God answered prayer. Seek to know more. You know, that's been kind of integrated into some of the things I've been sharing with you, but get informed on missionary work. You know, I want to suggest something. You don't see missionaries come through very often, but if you do, host them. We were hosted by many families over the years, and it was a wonderful time of fellowship. But I realized early on, one of the things that these families were doing is they were having their kids present while they asked us questions about the work. They were discipling their children, and they themselves were learning more about the work by hosting. I mentioned the CMS conference. February, June, November. So when's the next conference? November. Okay, good. So how much time do you have to plan? Quite a bit. So I want to encourage you, for now I don't have the date in front of me, the exact date, but set aside Saturday. Is it second? First Saturday. Thank you. See, that's why I have Sanjay as a son-in-law. So we're looking at November 4th. So don't pull out your calendars right now, but don't leave without putting November 4th CMS conference. There's no reason with enough notice, and it's an all-day event, but you can come for part of it. Why would you do that? To learn more. It's an opportunity to learn more. Now, the scary thing is, if you said, here I am, Lord, send me, and you heard that Brian got called to the mission field by going to CMS conferences, you might get a little nervous going to one, because what if I end up getting tagged by God to go? Well, that's between you and the Lord. The other thing is, write missionaries. These days, you can send an email. When we first went out, email wasn't that common, believe it or not. And I remember getting land mail. We loved land mail. That was our big day thing every day. But it was funny to get a letter that took 3 weeks to get to us, and they would tell us all the latest news that we had just heard on an email weeks before. And missionaries love emails, but I tell you right now, if you can send a land mail, some of you don't know what a stamp looks like, but write to bless them, but also to be more what? Informed. Seek to know more. CMML.us. That's the website. CMML.us. Go to that webpage. You could watch a video. You could read articles. You could learn more just by going to CMML's webpage. CMML.us. Okay? That's another way. You can visit missionaries. You know, we had so many visitors over the years. Nina, which I'm not sure if it was, she was a direct inspiration for our Nina. Nina from Austria stayed with us for quite a while. We ended up being invited to her wedding and went in Austria. Sarah Callahan, Sarah Donnelly, Emily, Sarah Husman from Germany, Tim, and Tati at different times, and then they later got married, which I predicted their marriage. You can visit missionaries, and you can do it with the goal of blessing them, serving, but you can also do it with the goal of learning about the work. There's so many ways to learn more. Serve, if even for a week. It starts at home. I want to emphasize that I've seen missionaries on the mission field who had never discipled anyone, who had never really preached much, and weren't very evangelistic. That's not the missionary God wants to send out. We have to be active where we are. We have to be serving. We have to discover our gifts. We have to get to know people. There are people sitting here in this very congregation who don't know each other. We're going to all eat lunch after this message. There's an opportunity to invite someone you don't know to lunch. There's Park Day. There's no reason why most of us can't be at Park Day. And at that time, have the goal of getting to know one another. That's where it starts. It doesn't start by Fran packing her bags and heading off to Zimbabwe or something, right? It starts with just where we are. And then as you see your gifts, use your gifts and serve, and then be confident in the Lord in your gifts and be active, and God will do a work. Then it's getting to serve him in so many different ways. I think of Gina Bowen, registered nurse for many years, is now retired. Word has it, I think she covered every continent in the world in her work. She would go in these medical dental teams as a nurse and would serve for a period of time in outreach to different parts of the world. She took her profession and she used it for the Lord for many, many years. Workers Together, it's a group of carpenters. Carpenters. Now, when I would ask the carpenters, what can I do? They'd say, get out of the way. And these dear brothers, they would build hospitals. They would build schools. They actually even build, they had it on their list, missionary houses. So guess one of the folks that the Lord used was these dear brothers from Workers Together. They got our entire house framed in 2 weeks. And then the Lord sent team down from Hillview. They went down and served vigorously, so vigorously that after driving for 10 hours, they went straight to the job site instead of coming to our house for dinner and got some work done before the night was over. There's so many ways to serve. You know, you can help with teams to Romania. You know, we have the dear brothers in Romania asking for help. There's an opportunity to serve there. You can take what you know. You can say, hey, I'm good with computers. Can I help with your computer? Or I'm good with a hammer and a nail. Can I help with that? Or I know how to drive. Can I help drive? Our brother, I meant to quote him, but he literally said, if God is nudging you, don't miss that nudge. You know, some saints take all their vacations where they're missionaries. And they make a point. I've told this story probably before, but we had one of my kids answers the door, and he comes over and he says, there's somebody speaking English at our front door. I'm like, what are they doing speaking English? It was the Reeses, this dear family from Napa Valley Bible Chapel. They found their way to our house, which has no road signs for at least 3 blocks before you would get to our house. There's no road signs. And they didn't even have our exact address. But they made the effort so they could spend the time and bless us with a nice little weekend the Americans, spend their time out in some of the beautiful parts of Ensenada. I've heard that over the years, that Christians would plan their vacations and they would make sure that they visited missionaries. Investigate His calling. You know, we need to look into what the Lord is leading in each of our lives. You know, my trips in the 80s, I remember crossing the border, and from a very difficult week in Mexico, some of the brothers jumped out of the van and literally kissed the ground in the U.S. and said, oh, I'm so glad to be back. I, while they were doing that, looked longingly out the back window, wishing I could have stayed, because God was calling me. Open your heart and your wallet. Now, Scripture is very clear in Thessalonians. God does not want your wallet unless He has your heart. If you said to the Lord, here I am, Lord, send me, and you're willing to do whatever He calls you to, then God may want you to share in a tangible way. And I want to encourage you, find missionaries and get to know missionaries that you can trust, because there's lots of organizations around the world that will love to have your money. But I want to tell you, anything you send to CMML for a missionary, 100% of it goes to the missionary. They don't touch it. The only thing they have is if one is designated for them, because they're volunteers as well. And then finally, never get comfortable and forget. Keep active. Seek the Lord. If the Lord's moved you this morning regarding missions, If he's moved your heart to be able to say to him, here I am, send me, don't forget. Keep active. Look for opportunities. I wanted to close with this story. There's a Tarahumara Indian who was living in a very remote part of Mexico, and the missionaries were reaching them. As they reached them, they realized that this gentleman had an amazing ability with languages. And so as they got to know him, he learned Spanish rather quickly. The Tarahumaras didn't speak a lick of Spanish, and they had to reach them in their language. And so as they trained him up, and they used him as an interpreter. Finally, he got saved. And as he grew in the Lord, he gained a burden for all of the Tarahumara spread out through the mountains. One day, with his ability, I think he had learned two or three other languages. He was ridiculously fluent in multiple languages. A brother came to him who had a tie with the United Nations. He says, brother, I heard of an opening in the United Nations. And then he used a term in Spanish, ya no eres Tarahumara, which means you're no longer Tarahumara. And the word he used was ser, which is a permanent verb. And so he looked at him and he says, you're no longer Tarahumara. You should come take this job at the United Nations. And this Tarahumara looked him right in the eye and says, you have very poor Spanish. He said, because ser is a permanent verb. I always have been Tarahumara and I always will be. I've been called to the Tarahumara people and I could not lower myself to work at the United Nations. Let's just really take God's perspective on the call to see souls saved, both here locally, but also around the world. Let's close. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had in your word. Thank you for this time that we have had to explore what we can do and what you are doing. Thank you, Lord, for this, and we just want to commit this into your hands. Thank you and praise you that you're so good to us. Help us, Lord, to care about those in this very assembly, to care about those outside in this neighborhood, to care about those in different parts of this country, and to care about those in the remotest part of the earth. Work in our hearts, open our eyes, and help us to be used of you. In Jesus' name, amen.